All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Hey, 55. We are actually picking up on top of Nun Hey. I think we left off right all the way at the bottom. So the Gemara, Shabbos, says, remember, first of all, Shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Josh and Becca Friedman, the Eloi Nishmas, Josh, his father, Yisrael Yehuda ben Rav Chaim Rafael, and Sammy and Malka Esther Sin, the Eloi Nishmas, their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the families a Nechama. So we'll say with that, let us begin. So if you remember, again, we left off in the middle of the conversation yesterday, new parak, where the Mishnah was discussing the idea of Dam Hanida. So Dam Hanida, specifically the idea that it's Metame Lach and Yovish. It has the ability to go ahead and convey Tumah, both while wet, as well as when dry. So we were darshaning yesterday, again, where this concept comes from. And we were showing that ultimately, again, that even though the dam of a nida goes out as matami like the nida herself, there are certain limitations, there are certain aspects where the nida herself conveys tuma that the dam does not. So we saw other examples of that. So the Gemara says, top of Nunhei, I mahi mitama be'evin misamo, af mad v'nem mitama be'evin misamo. So we'll say, very interesting idea. So the Gemara says, a nida conveys tuma with what we call evin misamo. Take a look at the top Rashi. Ima, Masanida Chamer, Letame Evan Misama. What's an Evan Misama? Is Evan Gidola Hamusamas Al Hakelim. If you have a very large stone that's placed on top of utensils, Venida Nises Allah, and the Nida herself ultimately goes in and is sitting on top of it, Mitame Begadim Shatachas HaEvan. Ultimately, again, so we'll say, so you have a very heavy stone. Underneath that stone is some type of kelim. Let's call it clothing. The nida sits on top of that stone. She conveys her tuma to the utensils underneath the stone. Kedarmin b'toras konim af masa dama chamer l'tamei be'evin mesama. The yesh metamei b'masa v'ena metamei be'evin mesama. Sechas Shabbos perek Rabbi Akiva. Darmina b'masa kuli amalo pligi d'metama ki pligi be'evin mesama de'in masa ela b'dava haroi l'inasei. Aval gidola ena metal telas dios atum and he says love, but God is up. So listen to this. So the chiddush of Evan Misam Rabbah says as follows. Normally we assume that Tumas Masa is conveyed by something that you can move. Right? So what's the classic case of Tumas Masa? Anita sits on a chair. Sits on a chair. Right? So therefore again she conveys Tumah to that utensil, and that utensil then essentially becomes an av and has the ability to convey Tumah to another person as well as his clothing. Right? That's the halacha. So Tumas Masa usually means something that is movable. An Evan Mesama means a very large stone that is immovable. Now we'll say the halacha is now what Rashi pointed out over here. Is the Gemara points out that there are certain things that an Evan Misana, does not contract Tumah from. Since it does not fit the normal paradigm of Tumas Maso, because it can't be moved, it doesn't necessarily contract Tumah from everything. It happens to be that Nida is one of the things that becomes Tameh, Nida is one of the forms of Tumah that conveys Tumah even to an Evan Misama. So I might have thought, Imahi Mitama be Evan Misama, Af Madvenami Mitama be Evan Misama, just like she conveys Tumah to an Evan Misama, so to her blood, the blood itself, the dam itself, should convey Tumah to an Evan Misama. Amar Rav Ashi says, no, it's not like that. Amakra, Vahanose Osam, Osam Mi'utahu. But say, ultimately, again, the passage says, Vahanose Osam, that which carries them. Right, that which is underneath them, which Rabbah says is a pasuk by Zav, ultimately teaches us that it is only something in the Zav category that ultimately goes out and conveys Tumah to an Evan Misama. So something like the Zav himself, the Nida herself, will convey Tumah to the Evan Misama, but her blood, the actual Dam Nida itself, will not convey Tumah to an Evan Misama. Good. We'll say that closes out that particular section. Next thing in the Mishnah was flesh from a corpse. So remember again, the Mishnah said flesh from a corpse is one of those things that's metame lachin and yevesh, and lachin and yevashin, right? It conveys tumah ultimately again, whether it is moist or whether it is dry. So the Gemara says, minalan, from where do I know that basar hames conveys tumah no matter what its state? Amrei shlakish, amakra, because the pasuk says lechol tumaso. The pasuk says, for all of its tumah, l'chol tumas haparshos mimenu. So, The Chol Tumah also teaches me that no matter how the Tumah kind of comes off it, which means no matter what form the Basar HaMeis is in, it conveys Tumah. Look at Rashi, the Chol Tumah HaParashas, Lo Shna Lach V'lo Shna Yavesh. So the Chol Tumah also means in whatever form the Basar HaMeis is found, that is how it conveys Tumah. Rabbi Yochanan says, O Be'etzem Adam O Be'kever. No, because the Pasuk says, whether ultimately, again, you're talking about a bone or you're talking about a grave. So what do you see from here? That what? That a corpse, even in other forms, even if it's in the grave, or even if it's just a bone, conveys Tumah. Adam dumya de'etzem. Shabbos say, ultimately, again, the corpse is compared to the bone. Remember, again, about saying that pasuk, it's sort of a chala sheyiga apnei asada, a chala cherev, o be'mace, o be'etzem adam, o be'kever. So it links mace to etzem adam and kever. How so? So adam dumya de'etzem. Ma etzem yavesh, afkan yavesh. Just like an etzem, I'll say, just like the bone, even if the bone is dry, it conveys Tumah. So to what? So to the corpse, even if it's dry, ultimately conveys Tumah. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are agreeing on the same principle, which is that Basar HaMeis conveys Tumah, even if it is Yavesh, even if it's dried out. What they're disagreeing on, ultimately, again, is the drasha. Reish Lakish telling me, L'chol Tumah, so any form of Tumah, whatever form the Basar HaMeis is in, That's ultimately the form in which he conveys Tumah. And Rabbi Yochanan, that the Basar HaMeis is compared to the Etzem. Just as an Etzem conveys Tumah even when it's dry, so too Basar HaMeis conveys Tumah even when it's dry. My Ben, I suppose, what's the Nafkamino? Ika Benayhu, the Africh Ifruche. So what's the interesting? Here's the Nafkamino. What happens if the flesh is so dry that literally, again, it crumbles apart? Rashi says, "The afrech efruche, she yavish yoser midai." So we'll say it's very dry. It's very dry, so that again, it crumbles apart. So what's the nafkamin over here? So according to Rashi, says Rabbi Yochanan tar the dumya de etzem ba'iner ve'etzem lo mifrach. So we'll say according to Rabbi Yochanan, who compares basar to etzem. Etzem means it's intact. It doesn't crumble apart. If it crumbles apart, it's no longer an etzem. So just like the etzem has to be intact, so too the basar has to be intact. But if it crumbles apart, then halacha lemaisa, it's not going to convey Tumah. Mashin, according to Reish Lakish, who says l'chol tumaso, so l'chol tumaso, even if the flesh is so dry that it crumbles apart, it'll still convey Tumah. Meisve, sereze kasha, basar hameis shehofrach tar. Yet the Braisa says that what? That if you have flesh from a corpse that crumbled apart, it's tar. So we'll say, see from here explicitly, that Basar HaMeis that is so dry that it crumbles, ultimately is tar. To which the Gemara says, no, hasam da akmach v'havi afra. So we'll say, so apparently again, that's a case where it doesn't just crumble, but it like literally again disintegrates almost into dust, where there's nothing to it. So apparently, again, in the case of Ifrach Afruche, you could say maybe it's a little bit, has more of a mamashos, so it has more of a tangibility, right? More of a consistency to it, we'll call it, like a flesh-like consistency. Mesha'inkein, Akma Chavi Afra means it's total dust. Everyone will agree that if it becomes total dust, then Halach HaMaisa doesn't convey Tumah. So let's analyze. Meisvei. So Gemara says, we'll raise another kasha. Kosh, so we'll say, so again, remember, just to point out, we have Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan both agreeing on the same concept, which is that Basar HaMeis, even if it becomes dry, ultimately, again, still conveys Tumah. Machlokes as to where exactly we're learning that out from. That's the funny thing. Machlokes. So Meis Yoreze Kasha, Kol Shebe Meis Metame. Anything ultimately, again, any part of the Meis, ultimately, again, conveys Tumah. So we'll say, so actually, before we go on with this, because this is going to convey something a little bit different, I'll just say the halacha with this, because it's actually an interesting discussion about disintegrating flesh, right? What happens if you have basar HaMeis that is beginning to turn into dust? What's the halacha? So the Rambam paskins, this is in Hilchos Tumas HaMeis, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud. Basar HaMeis shenifrach v'naase kekemach tahar. So I'll say, if you have flesh of a corpse that literally, again, disintegrated, like is disintegrating and turning into like a consistency, his Lashon over here is very interesting, Nase Kekemach, becomes like flour, right? Becomes like flour. What's Talacha Tar? We'll say, at this point in time, it no longer conveys Tumah. V'chein Afar Hasruf in Tar. We'll say, where else does this come up? Right? Ashes, right? If you have, again, if you have ashes from a body that's been burned. Right? So we'll say, I'll tell you, you know where this comes up is, I actually had this child, if someone was asking about this, where they had a relative who Nebuch was cremated. Was cremated, and one of the family members, again, they're just a family totally disconnected, and one of the family members offered this from family member, would you like the ashes? You know, they offered them the urn with the ashes. So besides the fact that it's just strange, but that interesting sound, is that like a davar hatame? Like this person happens to be part of a family of kohanim, right? So as I say, like is that it's a strange story, right? But right, is that a davar hatame? So the answer is no, right? The answer is that halacha lemaisa, when something has been reduced not to ash, but remember again, this is the Rambam over here is very careful, right? In other words, when they cremate a person today, it's not ashes. It's different. It's this consistency of aether, of like dust. That actually does not convey tumas meis. So, for example, kohanim would not technically have a problem with that. Interestingly enough, that's what Rama paskins, that if you have human flesh, if you have a human body that has been reduced, ultimately, again, to this efer, to this dust, then halacha l'maisa does not convey tumas meis. Incredible. Meisvei. So listen to this. Any part of a body, any part of a human body, conveys tuma. Chutz min hashinayim v'hasear v'hatziporen, with the exception of teeth, hair, and nails. Now, also, what this is referring to over here is if these parts are separated from the body. So a tooth that comes from a corpse does not convey tumas meis. Hair that comes from a corpse doesn't convey tumas meis. Nails that come from a corpse do not convey tumas meis. However, ubishas chiburon hakol tamei. When we say that hair, teeth, and nails don't convey tuma, that's when they are detached. But if they are attached to the body, then of course they do convey tumas meis. Amar Rav Ad bar Abba, dumya de'atzan. Because ultimately, again, all of these things are compared to bones. How so? Ma etzem shenivra imo, just like I'll say a bone is something that a person is born with. Af kol shenivra imo, so to what conveys tumas meis? Anything you're born with conveys tumas meis. Af kol shenivra imo. Ay v'ha ika se'ar v'tziporin shenivru imo v'tohorin. So we'll say, now what we're saying is like this. Anything that's like a bone, anything that's like that, which is like you're born with your bones, any part of your body that you are born with, ultimately, again, conveys tumas meis, even if what? Even if it's not attached to you, even if it's detached. So Gemara says, really? But I, v'ha'ika, se'ar v'tziporin, what about hair? And what about nails? Shenivro imo, we'll say that are born with me, utahorin, yet we just said before that what? That halacha l'maisa, hair and nails, as well as teeth, ultimately, again, once they are detached from the corpse, do not convey tumas meis. So what's going on? Ela amar Rav Ad bar Abba, dumya de'etzem. Everything is comparable to etzem. Ma etzem shenivra imo, ve'ein gizo machlif, af kol shenivra imo, ve'ein gizo machlif. So we'll say, in order to be part of the body of a mace, you have to follow the etzem paradigm, the bone paradigm. What's the bone paradigm? Something that is born with you, right? Etzem shenivra imo, ve'ein gizo machlif. It doesn't regenerate. It doesn't regenerate, which means that if it were to be removed, it would not grow back. So too, anything that is part of the body, i.e. that I'm born with, and does not grow back, sahalocha l'maisa has the din of tumas meis, even when detached. So therefore, Gemara says, I begin to understand why ultimately hair, teeth, right? Hair, teeth, and nails, thank you, right, are not included in this. So the Gemara says, Yatsu shinayim shalom nevraimo. So we'll say this comes to exclude teeth. You're not born with teeth, right? Yatsu ser v'tziporin. This comes to exclude hair and nails. Sha'af apishin ivraimo gizo machlif. Because even though ultimately, again, they are born with me, I am born with them, ultimately, again, they regenerate. So now we're saying this is the model, right? The bone creates a paradigm. And the paradigm is you're born with it and it doesn't regenerate. Therefore, anything either that you're not born with, or even if you're born with it, but lamaisa, it regenerates, if detached from the corpse, does not convey tuma. But one second, vahari or. Well, so what about skin itself? Right? Skin itself. Bahari or the gizel machlif. I will say skin regenerates, right? Skin regenerates. And yet what? Utnan. We learned. Hagluda. So I will say, this is actually talking about an animal for just a moment. So gluda, I will say, means an animal. Kirashi behema sheniklaf ora mipnei torach malacho mach mashkin. So I will say, so the gluda is an animal that has been skinned. It's alive. Rashi points out either because of exertion, something to do with the labor that it's performing, or because of some type of illness, it sheds its skin. So what's talacha? Rabbi Meir machshir. Rabbi Meir says that such an animal is still kosher for consumption. The Chachamim post and the Chachamim say it's possible. But the Chachamim say that an animal without its skin is a trefa. So because it's a trefa, therefore, again, you can't eat it. And even the Rabbanan will say, hold, that even though skin regenerates, nevertheless, what's the issue? They hold that before the skin regenerates, the animal is going to contract some type of illness or sickness, and therefore die as a result of that. So even the Rabbanan agree that halacha lamaisa, the skin will regenerate. Uli olam gizo machlif. I will say, but skin is something ultimately that what? That grows back. So we'll say, so remember again, you see the lead up over here. We just established a principle. And what's the principle? That ultimately, again, anything, any part of the body that a person is born with, but what? Does not regenerate, is part of the body, to the point that when a person dies, even if that part becomes detached, that detached part still conveys tumas meis. But anything that a person is born with and does regenerate, like hair, like nails, when detached from the body, no longer conveys tumas meis. So the Gemara is saying over here, everyone agrees that what? That skin grows back. Now watch this. With Tanina, we learned Elu Sha'orosem Kibsaran. Yet I will say we learned elsewhere that what? That in these cases, skin is like the flesh itself, and included in that category is Or Ha'adam, is the flesh of a person, is the skin of a person. So as I say, interestingly enough, what are we saying in this price over here? That skin is like flesh. Skin, right? Skin, the outer layer of skin is like the flesh of the body. Meaning what? Just like the flesh conveys tumas meis, so to what? Skin conveys tumas meis. But why should skin convey tumas meis? After all, again, you're born with it, right? But what? If you remove it, what happens? It regenerates. If it regenerates, then it's not part of the tumah paradigm. So why should detached skin go ahead and convey tumah? Ha itmarala, we learned about this. Amar ula. Devar Torah is fascinating. Devar Torah or Adam Tar. In reality, Midaraisa, skin does not convey tumah. Right? Skin does not convey tumah. Umatam amru tame. So why did the rabbi step in and ultimately go ahead and say that it's tame? This is wild. Gzeira shemayasa adam oros aviv v'imo shtichin l'chamar. And I will say, we're going to define this, what this means in just a moment, right? So there's a concern that a person might take the flesh of his mother and father and ultimately, again, make it into a saddle for his donkey. That's what I'll say. So what? That doesn't get along with his parents so well. What's the chat over here? What there was a concern about, I will say, was as follows. You know, we'll say, the Gemara, remember the Gemara Maseches Moed Katan that said that, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that a corpse decomposes? We had this going. Why did Kishma? Because there was a concern that if a corpse didn't decompose, what would a person do? They would keep the bodies of their loved ones with them. Right? I don't want to say goodbye to my loved ones, so I'd keep the body of my loved one with me. Kadosh Baruch Hu therefore said corpse decompose, so that becomes an impossibility. So we'll say this Gemara could be understood in one of two ways. Either that Chazal were concerned that people will literally mistreat a corpse, right? That people will go ahead, if there's, right, will actively mistreat a corpse in order to be used, it's to be able to use its skin for some way. Or it will say that people have all different kinds of interesting forms of sentimentality, if that's the right word, right? That ultimately, again, you know, mom would have really loved to be a donkey saddle. You know, that's mom. She always wanted to take care of me. She actually took care of me in life. Now she'd want to make sure that I'm taken care of in death as well. People have all kinds of strange stuff like this. So Chazal said, skin is tame. Skin is tame. That at the end of the day, that's it. So also, this is actually quite fascinating. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that halacha lemaisa. So again, me'ikra din, skin is really tar, right? Why is skin tahar? Because it doesn't fit the paradigm. Although you're born with it, it regenerates. So because it regenerates, therefore again doesn't convey tumah. That's midaraisa. Midrabanan Chazal went ahead and stepped in, and Chazal said, no, it does in fact convey tumah. Vikidayan, we'll say others have a different version of this exchange. Hare ar de'ein gizal machlif. So also when it comes to skin, let's remember again, we're making a distinction over here between skin and basar and flesh, right? Skin referring to the outer layer, basar referring to the deeper layer. Vahari ar de'ein gizal machlif. So also when it comes to ar, which does not regenerate, right? Utinan, and we learned, so Rabbi says, this is a different version of the previous discussion. Utinan, we learned, the Chacham poslim. So we'll say ultimately again that the Chacham say in the case of gulda, right? In the case of the animal, that such an animal is not fit for any kind of consumption because it's a trefa. So Rabbi says, but even Rabbi Meir says that even it's makshir. Why? Because the skin can be removed and it could still live. Ulu olam in gizal machlif. Va'amra Ula, Devar Torah Adam Taharu. And yet Ula said that Nidaraisa, the skin of a person is tar. So the Gemara says, Ki itmar du Ula Sefa itmar, V'chulon she'ibdan, O she'hilich pan kedeavoda tahorin. So we'll say ultimately again, anytime that skin has been tanned, right, or walked upon, in other words, if the skin itself has been made into what we would call leather, right, which we'll say is done through the process of tanning or through walking on top of it, tahorin. Ultimately, again, the skin becomes tar, chutz me'ar adam, with the exception, ultimately, again, of the skin of a person. Va'ar ma'ula, devar Torah, or adam ki avdo tar. We'll say, in truth is midoraisa, even the skin of a person, when you go ahead and you tan it, it becomes tahar. Umatam amru tame, and ultimately again, why is it that Chazal stepped in and said that it's tame? Gezeres shemiyas adam or aviv ve'imo shtichin. And I have a concern that a person will come to use the flesh, the skin of his mother and father, for some type of household purpose. So we'll say, so remember again, it's the same bottom line. It's the same bottom line, just a different exchange that leads up to it. But I will say, but interestingly enough, you begin to see that halacha lamaisa, that skin itself ultimately is mid-da'oraisa going to be tahar, but it's the Rabbanon who went ahead and came along and said that it is going to be tame. Why? Out of a concern that if we don't legislate tumah by skin, a person may come to use it for just certain everyday purposes. So we'll say, so again, which ultimately makes sense for us. Why? Because we've established a paradigm. Remember what we're trying to discuss, we're trying to figure out which parts of a corpse convey tumah even when detached from the corpse itself. So we've created a paradigm. And the paradigm is that halacha lamaisa, if it's something that you're born with and doesn't regenerate, then it conveys tumas mace even when it's detached from the body. So we'll say that's for so ultimately, again, that comes to exclude what? It excludes teeth, which you're not born with. It excludes hair, which even if you're born with, regenerates. It excludes nails, which if you're born with, regenerates. But ultimately, again, what about skin? Right? Skin regenerates. To which the Gemara says, you're right. That's why midaraisa, skin from a corpse, is not tamei. Midrabanan, we step in and we make it tamei. And I will say, interestingly enough, this is how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Gimel Halochi Yud Aleph, says as follows. Or Adam Kibsaro. So I will say, interestingly enough, the Rambam actually adopts the approach of the second version here of the Gemara. The Rambam actually says that the skin of a person is treated like his flesh, right? Which means, Rabbi say, under normal circumstances, skin does convey tumah. Now, again, it's quite possible that Rambam is holding midrabanan, but nevertheless, goes out and conveys tumah. However, vim avdo kol tzarcho, o hilich bo kedeavoda, Rabbi say, the Rambam adopts this second approach. So it sounds like over here, really, the Rambam is saying midaraisa, skin is like flesh. But if you went ahead and you tanned it, in other words, you processed it, literally like a hide, right? What's the halacha? Hareze tar min haTorah. Interestingly enough, if you process human flesh to the point that it becomes like leather, right? Process skin, then halacha lamaisa, it's lost its identity as skin, and it is tar midaraisa. Aval medivreihem mitame bekizayis kibaser. But midrabanon, we actually go ahead and make it tame, like flesh itself. Gezera shalahargil bnei adam laavod oros adam yishtam shahed. In order, Rabbi, to prevent what? In order to prevent a human skin market. Right? In order to prevent a human skin market, Chazal stepped in and says that it has tumasvei. So Rabbi says, so Rama paskins that midaraisa, human skin is treated like basar. We're going to see this actually in just a moment. That's the ikid de amri. Like basar, but Allah says, if you process it, it loses its identity. Therefore, tar midaraisa, but still tamei midrabanan. So I vahari basar de gizal machli v'tamei basar. What about flesh itself? So remember again, flesh itself is something that what? That regenerates, right? Flesh itself regenerates, and yet, so we'll say, and yet what? And yet, halacha l'maisa v'tameh conveys to masay. So remember again, we established a paradigm based on the comparison to etzem, based on the comparison to bone. What part of a corpse conveys tumah even when detached? Which parts? So halacha l'maisa, anything that you're born with and doesn't regenerate. One second, flesh itself is something that I'm born with, and regenerates. Yet what? Even when basar is detached from the corpse, that still conveys tuma. Amar Rav Ashi, basar na'asa mekomot tzalakas. So we'll say, even basar, interestingly enough, even though it regenerates, there's always a scar. Rashi says, na'asa basar tzalakas means ultimately, again, that Rashi says, kilomar, roshem niraba charitz oguma ve'in kula chozer, aval ser v'tziporin ein netilas onikar. When flesh is removed, it's always recognizable. There's a scar, there's an indentation, there's something. Masha inkein, hair and nails, when removed and they grow back, you can't ever tell that they were ever removed. So apparently the fact that when flesh is removed, it leaves some type of recognizable sign, that's enough to say that it doesn't regenerate in totality. Therefore, basar itself will convey tumah even when detached. Pretty amazing. So also, so the Rambam over here, Paskins as well, he says, this is all in Parak Gimel of Tumas Meis, Halacha Yud Gimel here. Kol Sheva Meis Tamei Chotz Min HaShinayim V'Aser V'Atziparin Hol V'Gizem Machal. So what's the Rambam Paskins? Any part of a corpse conveys Tumah except for that which regenerates. Therefore, teeth, nails, and hair, when detached from a corpse, will not convey Tumah. However, U'B'Shas Chiburin HaKol Tamei. Obviously, when it's attached to the corpse, everything conveys tumah. Ketzad, Kesavah says, and the Rambam just gives examples of that. So I'll say, but halacha l'maisa, that's how the Rambam paskins. So anything that ultimately, again, regenerates does not convey tumah. But anything you're born with and does not regenerate, ultimately, again, will convey tumah even when, anything you're born with and will not regenerate does convey tumah even when detached. Basar seems to be the exception to this, because like as the Rambam says, since basar, even when it regenerates, does not regenerate as it once was, therefore halacha l'maisa conveys tumah. Beautiful. Aval azov. So we'll remember again, next was the zov emission itself, right? The Mishnah said zov is now in this category of things that convey tumah when wet, but not when dry. This is not the emission itself. Zov nabas, how do I know that the emission itself conveys tumah? Disanyo, zovo tame. We'll say it says zovo, the emission itself will be tame. Li made al hazov shu tame. Teaches me about the emission itself, not just about the zov, but about the zov, the actual emission that it conveys tumah. Ay v'halo dinu. So we'll say this, kavachomer, lacherim gorim tumah. Liatzma l'kol shekein. We'll say ultimately again, if you look at Rashi, right? So lacherim, so here, the emission itself makes the zav tamei. So certainly, again, the emission itself is going to be tamei as well. To which the Rambam says, it's not necessarily a good raya. I'll tell you why. Sira mishtaich, we'll say this before. Because sira mishtaich achiyach, we'll say sira mishtaich, remember again, is the goat that is sent over the cliff on Yom Kippur. Shagorim tumah l'achirim. So this is actually quite interesting. The sira mishtaleach goes ahead, we'll say the person who takes the seir out becomes tamei. Pasuk is v'hamishtaleach es ha-seir. Right, Yechabes Begadov. Interestingly enough, the person who takes out the Seir Mishtaleach ultimately conveys Tumah. Yet what? Vuas Motar. Yet the Seir itself is Tar. So we'll say, so you see that something could have the capacity to make someone else or something else Tahar, Tameh, yet itself remain Tahar. So the one who takes out the Seir Mishtaleach becomes Tameh, yet the Seir itself is Tahar. So we'll say, we wanted to say that if ultimately, again, the emission makes the Zav Tameh, so certainly the emission itself is Tameh. Tradition of the Gemara says maybe not. We have a model of something that makes someone else tameh, yet it itself remains tar. That's Shemesh Taleach. To which the Gemara says, Af ata al tatame alze. So we'll say, so don't worry, and don't be bewildered by this. So the Gemara says, Af apishugam tumulachin huas motar. So we'll say, so again, you see an example of something that makes someone else tameh, yet it itself remains tar. Tamud lomar zovo tamei. So let's say, therefore, the pasuk says zovo tamei. The zivus itself will be tamei limed ala zov shu tamei. This will say zovo teaches me that what? The actual emission itself is tamei. The ema hani mili b'mago avah b'masalob. So maybe you'll say, okay, fine. I'll agree with you that the emission itself conveys tuma. Maybe it only conveys tumas mago. And not tumas masa, only direct contact. But let's say, for example, not through carrying. To which the Gemara says, "Midi dehavi asheretz." The truth is, because maybe it's comparable to sheretz. So we'll say, remember again, sheretz tuma sheretz only conveys tuma through maga and not through masa. Very interesting halacha. So maybe we're going to tell me now that the zavi mission is tame and conveys tuma, but only conveys tuma through maga and not through masa. So the fact that zivos, the emission itself, will convey tuma through maga, that's obvious because zivos is no worse than shechvazera, and shechvazera conveys tuma ultimately again through maga. Therefore, again, ki itzrich kra. So we'll say, what does the pasuk come to teach me? Lemasa. So we'll say the pasuk comes to teach me ultimately again that even carrying the zivos emission will convey tuma. I ve'ema b'masa metame adam begadim b'maga adam metame begadim lo metame lo letame. Possibly maybe it means like this. Maybe when it comes to the zavi mission itself, it means as follows: when you carry it through masa, that'll be metame adam and begadim. But through maga, it'll only be metame begadim. Sorry, adam and not begadim. B'maga adam metame begadim lo letame. Midi dahava a maga nevela. Because also maybe it should be compared ultimately to what? To the maga of a nevela. To which we will say, for the Girashi, what happens by a nevela? Nevela b'maga matame adam v'lo begadim, shalav, mas matame adam v'gadim. So remember again, by nevela, what's the halacha? Contact with a nevela conveys tuma to the individual, but not as clothing. Yet, interestingly enough, mas of a nevela conveys tuma to the adam and to his begadim. So maybe, the zivos emission should be just like what? Should be just like nevela. If you touch it, it conveys tuma to Adam. But if you carry it, right, the masa, it conveys tuma to Adam and Gadim. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. The Gemara says, midi de havi amag nevela, lo sardaitra de sanyo, achirim omrim, hazav es zavo le zachron and nekeva. Both say the pasuk says, hazav es zavo, the zav and his emission, le zachar ul and nekeva, for a male and a female. What does this mean? Makish zavo lo. I will say, the Torah compares the emission to the Zav himself. Mahu lo chalakta bein maga'o lemaso. Just like I will say, for the Zav himself, there is no chilik ultimately again between his maga and his masa. Right? I will say, remember again, the maga and the masa of a Zav both convey tuma to Adam and Begadim. So to what? So mahu lo chalakta be magol maso the tami adam ul tami begadim af zovo kain. So Rav Osi, when it comes to his zivus, there is no difference in the tuma that is conveyed between the maga and the masa of the emission itself. Ay v'hashta. So we'll say v'hashta the nafkalan mehazav es zovo. So we'll say, so now that I'm learning this, so remember. The bottom line limud is hazav es zovo. We are comparing the emission to the zav himself. Just like the zav conveys tuma, so to what? The emission itself conveys tuma. So the Gemara says, now that I'm learning that I'm hazav es zovo, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, hasha danafka me hazav es zovo, zovo tame lamali. Why do I need the phrase zovo tame? So the Gemara says, well, remember again, originally we thought zovo tame teaches me what? That the actual emission is tame. Now we're seeing, we learn that out from hazav es zovo. That ultimately, again, the zivos, the emission zovo, is just like the zav. So what do I do with the phrase zovo tame? Lamali amar Rabbi Yehuda midiskarta itzrich. I need it. I'll tell you why. Sagadai tamina sir mishtach yochia. Because I might have thought that maybe sir mishtaleach creates a paradigm. What's the paradigm? Shigorim tumalachirim vu atz motar. Because we'll say Seir Mishlech is a paradigm that what? Seir Mishlech causes tuma to other people, yet what? Yet it itself is tahar. Right? You're supposed to remember again, the seer itself is tahar, yet the person who takes it out to the wilderness becomes tamei. I am at a flood, therefore halacha lemaisa. Same idea would apply with zivus, right? That the person who has the emission becomes tamei, but the emission itself maybe is tahar. V'mishum hazaves zovo. And if you want to say just because of the drasha of zaves zovo leminyana hu da'asa, we had this drasha before also. Zaves zovo is part of a larger limud that speaks of the number of emissions that a man has to have in order to become a zav gadol. So the Gemara after all says zov chad zovo tarti. And by the third Riya, the Torah equates it to a woman that becomes a Zav God, like Zav Gidola. Kasav Rachmana Zovo Tame. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Zovo Tame, again to teach me that what? That halacha lamaisa, the Zivas, the emission itself, conveys Tumah. Good. The hashtag Am Rachmana Zovo Tamehu. Darush Bey Nami Hai. And Abbas and the Torah also wrote Zavo Tame. It comes to teaching that what? That halacha lemaisa, not only is the emission going to be Tame, but the emission is going to be Tame just like the Zav himself. And just like the Zav, right, conveys Tumah to Adam and Begadim, so to the emission itself conveys Tumah to Adam and Begadim. So both say, so bottom line, halacha lemaisa, the emission of the Zav has the very status of the Zav himself. Just like the Zav conveys Tumah to Adam and Begadim, being through Maga or Masa, so to the emission itself will convey Tumah ultimately again to Adam and Begadim, whether through Maga or through Masa. Incredible. Says the Gemara of Harok. Next, saliva. Saliva, so we'll say saliva is one of the things that conveys Tumah, but again, according to the Mishnah, only conveys Tumah how? When it's in a moist form, a wet form, but not in a dried form. So says the Gemara, Rok Minolan, from where do I know about? So how do I know the halachas of saliva? So the Gemara said, Desanya, Vichi Yarok, because we'll say the Pasuk says, and remember, this is talking about a Zav also. Literally it says, Vichi Yarok Hazav Bitar, if the Zav will spit at someone who is Tahar, ultimately, again, the chibes begadav. So it tells us that the person who's tar becomes tamei. So the Gemara says, v'chi yarak, yachal avapish lo naga. So this is actually fascinating. I might have thought that if the Zav spits at someone, even if the saliva doesn't hit the tahar guy, he should still be tamei. And I as well say, it's actually quite fascinating. The Gemara is like, there's a havamina, they're just spitting at someone, right? Even if the saliva doesn't reach them. Maybe halacha lemaisa again, the zav still conveys the tumah. Afa pishlo naga, talmud lomar betahar. Therefore, the pasuk says that what? It's only when the saliva is betar, hits the tar person. Ache yiga betar. Ultimately, again, the tar person only becomes tamei when he gets hit by the saliva of the zav. Amy ela roko. I only know that this applies to what? To his saliva. Kicho veneo umea af shomen. I say, how do I know that it applies? Kicho v'neo, I will say, is all the other good stuff that people like to summon up, right, inside of them, right? You can listen to the recordings this year. You'll hear this. So kicho v'neo me'af. So I will say, so ultimately, again, so this refers ultimately, again, kicho means, right, the phlegm, right, the phlegm. Or me'af, I will say, means like literally mucus discharges, right? So mucus discharges. So how do I know, I will say, that all of these types of mucus discharges are included in this? So what we're saying is like this. Saliva is very specific, right? Saliva is very specific. But what about all of the other mucal juices that, right, that people tend to summon up inside of them? How do I know that ultimately, again, it applies to these things as well? Talmud lomar v'chi yorok. We'll say the pasuk says, V'chi, there's an extra vav. There's an extra vav. So we'll say that drush of the extra vav goes out and teaches me that even other things, even other liquids, secretions, thank you. Even other secretions that a person summons up inside of them ultimately also count as part. So interestingly enough, the Gemara is saying that roke is really just kind of like a catch-all phrase. Saliva really comes to include all types of secretions. So the Gemara says, "V'chi yarok amar yocho afa pi shalom naga mehechetesi." So we'll say. So remember, going back to that for just a moment, you wanted to say that ultimately, again, there is a havamina that even if the Zav just spits at someone, even if it doesn't hit him, right? That halach l'maisa, that would convey to him. Where would you have such a halmina? The sachdait chamina, nelef rok miyevama. Let's listen to this. I'm going to maybe make a gzer shava of rok, saliva, from Yevama. Watch this. Mahasam afabi delo naga, afachanami delo naga. But listen to this case. When a woman does chalitza, so what's the halacha? The halacha is she has to spit in the shoe. That's what the Rabbos say. That spit, of course, doesn't have to go on the Yevama, right? On the Yavam. It's not supposed to go on the Yavam. So that just like in that case over here, the spit doesn't go on the Yavam, so too when the Zav spits at someone, even if the spit doesn't go on that person, maybe it conveys tuma. To which the Gemara says, "Kamashwal, not like that. Kamashwal, that Allah lemais, we don't make it that gzera shava. I ve'emar hani mili b'maga aval b'masa lo." So is it maybe? Ultimately, again, when does the saliva go ahead and convey tuma? And when we say saliva, we're saying we're including all secretions in that. Maybe it only conveys tuma when b'maga, but not by masa, right? But not by masa. Midi d'havi asheretz. Because also maybe the secretions of a zav, right? The saliva of a zav should be just like sheretz. Just like sheretz only conveys tuma through maga and not through masa. So too, again, the secretions only convey tuma through maga, not through masa. Amar Shlakish, Tendere Vishmal, Amakra, Bitar. We'll say, right, the pasuk says that, remember, the zav is spitting on the tar. Bitar. Mashe biyad tar. Anything Rabbi say that literally is in the hand of the tar, I'm being mitami. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. B'mashe biyatar im rak b'mashe biyatar tavelei tar no siyas harak. Rabbi say, so ultimately again, whatever is within the hand of the tar. Rabbi say, the drush the Gemara is making over here is bitar means anything that is conveyed by the tar. So whether the tar is directly touching it or whether he's carrying it, ultimately, again, it will convey to us. We'll say, so here the drasha is that halacha l'maisa, not only does the saliva of the zav convey tuma through maga, but also conveys tuma through masa. I ve'ema b'masa matame adam megadim. B'maga adam letame, begadim lo letame. But maybe, okay, but we'll say, so now tell me that ultimately, again, the saliva of the zav conveys tuma through maga and masa. We'll make the following distinction. Maybe through maga, ultimately, again, it conveys tuma. I'm sorry. Maybe through masa, the saliva will convey tuma both for adam and kay and begadim. But by maga, it'll only convey adam and not begadim. Where do we get that distinction? Midi dehavia maga nevela. Because also it'll be just like nevela. Because what's the halacha by nevela? Nevela conveys tuma through maga and masa, but maga it's only through adam, right? Not to begadim. Masa is adam and begadim. Amrei shlagish kintan drei bishma amakra bitar. Both says it's bitar. It teaches me that what? Even things that I was metaher in other situations, I am metame here. And what is it coming to include? Rabbi say this refers ultimately to Maganavela. Even though Maganavela only conveys tuma to Adam, not Begadim, right? Pure by the saliva of the Zav is going to convey tuma through Maga, not just to Adam, but to Begadim as well. Ve'ema kimasa de sheretz. Why don't you say over here, we'll treat it like the masa of sheretz. We'll say namely that what? Just like sheretz does not convey tuma through masa, so too over here, it won't convey tuma through masa as well. In Cain, nechtov kra adam, ba'adam, my bitar. So we'll say, if that's the case, it should have just said ba'adam. What does it mean, bitar? So we'll say, bitar, shmamina tarti. We'll say, to come to teach me both of these cases, that halacha l'maisa, namely, things that I was metaher in other situations, I am metame over here. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, we'll say that ultimately what? That the saliva of the Zav takes on the properties of the Zav himself. Namely, that it's metame both Adam and Begadim, b'maga u'b'masa. We also have to stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Hashem at Meha'af tomorrow. Shkoyach.